in your life, and then you got to guard that word. Just like you would get a guard dog for your house or water shop. You get a guard dog, why? To guard it. You get to guard it so nothing goes in and steals your stuff. Now, we have angels, so we don't have to have guard dogs. We got angels that are encamped around and watches over our stuff, right? I do. I got angels. But, you know, the Bible says for us to guard our hearts. Well, we got to guard the word so that it don't come out of our heart. Well, here I am on there, and I did get up, and I said, oh, no. I said, man, you know, my feet, they're aching a bit. I said, I'll get used to it. One of them looked at me and said, oh, no, you get old like that. You don't. And I'm like, I'm not old, man. When you get old, you don't never get used to it. And I thought about it when I didn't say nothing. I just got back down there and started roofing, you know, because I'm like, I'm not going to get in this mentality. They were in confession. How many knows we need to have confession time, but not how bad things are and not how we got arthritis eating our earlobes off and, you know, arthritis done crept in and about it's going to eat it. I mean, you know, you can imagine arthritis in your bones. And I mean, you can imagine them nibbling away. I could tell you they're like Pac-Man. And you can imagine that. And you can just imagine every now and then maybe you can hit a power pill. So you can do something with them little things trying to eat you up, you know. So you can imagine things, and those imaginations can be seeds that get in your heart. Yes. And they're really dangerous. Yes. See, the word, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He says it goes down to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and is a discerner. It said in the intents of the heart, and is a discerner of the thoughts. So we can see that God's word is alive. Yes. It is powerful. You take a two-edged sword, a really sharp sword. I mean, I got machetes, buddy, and I mean they will cut some briars just right quick. Well, the word is sharper than that. The word is powerful. There's power in the word of God. And that is how come we renew our mind with it. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. See, now they were conforming somewhat yesterday to the world's way of seeing and thinking and doing. They're over. My life is shot. And all the way home, I told the Lord, I said, I'm not going to live with them. I would not live with them. I could just see us four in the house. We'd all be dead in 6 months. I'd have to shoot them to get them out of their misery because I love them. Yeah. But you know what? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Help my brothers not to think that way, Lord. Think and defeat, and this is just the way it is, Lord. And I told Teresa when I got home, I said, I'm in better shape than any of them. I've not been out of open heart surgery, but a year. I've got a little bit of evidence. My head knows I did, but I've got a little bit of evidence right here, and I'm winding springs to work that on out on God's doing. That's all the evidence I got, other than when I can feel that there's a scar there. And my neck reminds me. I didn't even know I had one out this side, Matt, till Travis and them told me. You had one out here. I said, how many hoses did I have coming out of me? But you know what, man? I didn't know. They give me some knockout stuff, boy. I bet you I had some good stuff. But you know, I told Teresa, I said, I'm in better shape than all of them. Well, when I left there, I said, that's not going to happen to me in Jesus' name. That's not going to happen to me. I believe in suffering for Jesus, but not no sickness and disease. Not no poverty. Not no weak. Weak. Defeated. I don't believe all that suffering for Jesus. I believe, but God, go ahead and persecute me and say all manner of evil against me because I'm serving Jesus. Go ahead and chop my head off. I believe. persecution. If they say you're going to take the mark of the beast or the sword, I'm going to say, pull your sword, homeboy. I'm already dead. I done been died and crucified. I've been raised from the dead, and you can't kill me. Go ahead. Now, you might think I wouldn't do it, but I ain't going to renounce Jesus. I'm not going to. I believe in suffering for the Lord. I believe in going. I go through some hardship for this church on account of you. And that's okay, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible does say greater is he, and y'all have to go through for your brothers and sisters. Did you know that it makes them feel good when you're faithful to the Lord and you're happy and you're not oppressed and, you know, and they see you getting up and fighting. That helps your brother. And you have to go through stuff for them too. Hallelujah. It works both ways, praise God. But, you know, we've got to guard the Word of God. We talked a lot about it, confession, you know. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, wherever it's at, it says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So we can either have healing coming out of our mouth, or we can have defeat coming out of our mouth. We can help people be encouraged to fight, or we can help them. Good Lord. I mean, I've seen people before and thought, Jesus, he does need to just take them on home. Trying to depress the rest of us. Good God Almighty. You know, I have absolutely thought they're just too far gone, man. I mean, Jesus can't do nothing with this. But he can. Hallelujah. You know, but then you have to go in there and say, oh, no, glory to God. Had one of my brothers one time, he was going through some financial difficulties, Mac. I mean, if I was married to the woman, I'd have probably shot my foot off too, you know. She probably felt the same. They both needed work on for Jesus. But anyhow, they're Christians, I reckon. Then he'd come in every day. Every day he'd come to work. We was back here. This wasn't even thought about being in church. This was a garage door warehouse at one time. And all of this, the floor was out, rotted out. This used to be a skate rink back yonder in the 60s, you know, 50s and 60s. Feed stores, but all kind of stuff. But anyways, he come in every day, and oh, he's griping every day about their marriage and how he's going to divorce her, and she blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I got tired of hearing it. I mean, I come in early, you know, every day, and I'm getting in there, and I'm praying over which way to go with the trucks and giving the Lord the first part of the day, and then he comes dragging in trying to kill all that. Have you ever spent time with the Lord and you up pretty good and then you get a phone call? I mean, you're doing good and then somebody blah, blah. And then you just feel like, oh, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. You have to watch it. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to, praise God. Be attentive of what's going on. Well, he comes in and I said, come on, man. We walked back here and I said, see this? I said, we can build this one here. This we built this stage. And I said, there was a wall here. I said, look, we'll turn this into an apartment. You can go in and get a divorce, man. They don't need you renting. We own the building. You know, we'll fix it up. We'll get you a bathroom, and we'll fix you a little kitchenette. And I gave him a vision, Johnny. I gave him a vision. Oh, he felt good. He was feeling better already. He was just feeling good. And then we walked, and he said, yeah. And then I looked at him, turned, I looked at him, I said, or you can fight for your marriage. I said, which is the way God wants you to go, man. I said, you can do this right here, which feels good because the pressure's on. I said, or you can fight for your marriage, which is going to be better than an apartment, praise God. I said, you can fight the good fight of faith and put that devil under your feet, praise God. I told him, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to see, honor the woman, I quoted the scripture right, as the weaker vessel, whatever it says, I can't remember it right now. And you know what? He walked out of here, that Christian giant, all again. Glory to God, reckon I can have off for a little while. I said, yes, you just go take care of business, hallelujah. Well, see, I could help him on, be defeated, And listening to him, I thought I'd go shoot her. Because you know, always one's a one-sided thing most of the time. He's telling me how bad she is. But I guarantee you, she could be telling me how bad he is. You know? I mean, listening to him, I'm like, good God, ain't no way she'd be a Christian. You ought to divorce her too. That's the way most people get on the bandwagon. They don't hear from the Spirit. See, you got to hear from the Spirit of God in your situations. That's why fasting's good for you and praying. And I mean, I don't got to call y'all to say, what do y'all think God wants me to do? Buy a truck in Alabama or go to North Murfreesboro? I bought a truck in Tennessee. I don't got to call y'all. Would y'all pray and fast and ask God? No, man, I got to know what God's saying myself. Could y'all ever send me to Murfreesboro and get shot up there when I was supposed to be in Kentucky? See, y'all got to hear, you got to hear from the Lord yourself. And then when you do, guard that word. You know, just like I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I don't care what attacks this body. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm not going to be took out of here and took down and live life with something causing me to fear that it's going to rob me of my future and my kids and my grandkids and my church and my ministry. I love y'all, and I ain't in no hurry to go, but I sure ain't afraid of dying. See, I'm going to guard that word in my heart. I'm going to live and not die. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help them. Help my brothers, God. This is hard stuff for them. Their body's telling them this. Their body's telling them that. And their bodies are telling them this. And it is real. And their situation's real. Their pain is real. Their statistics from the doctor's real. That one told me Thanksgiving. He said, well, I said, what'd your doctor say? I mean, his whole body's hurting and weak and all that. And they go cut his wrist and do surgery there. And I'm like, what? They wanted to do his other one, too. I said, well, did it help that one? No. I said, well, why are you going to let them cut the other one? I said, you know what it reminds me of, man? What? I said, it reminds me of the woman in the Bible with the issue of blood. I said, this woman had went, and she had money and spent it all on doctors. And the Bible says that she grew worse. She spent everything she had. I said, she was trying to get healed. She was trying to get well. I said, and she spent all that she had. I said, and grew worse. I said, sounds like you. Well, tears done welled up in his eyes about this dying. I said, but you know what? I said, she decided that she was going to turn to somebody else. I said, and his name was Jesus. I said, she decided that this healer that she heard, that she's been hearing about, probably, I said, I don't know. She may have thought, why not try? I don't know. The Bible don't say. But the Bible says that she went beyond what she was supposed to be doing. See, she was in quarantine. She wasn't supposed to be out in public. She could have got stoned, which they did stone them in those days. She could have got stoned for coming out of that room. But she come out of that room. See, me and you sometimes have to get out, hallelujah, of what is comfortable, what is reasonable in our mind, and reach out to the unknown. What, you know, I mean, the healing power's real today. I mean, financial deliverance is real today. It's just as real today as it's always been in that Bible, bless God. It's just a matter of me and you taking that word and taking that word and putting that word in to where it becomes a living word on the inside, bless God, that no weapons formed against us will prosper. We're going to live and not die. We're going to show the glory of God. Don't the Bible say, let our light so shine? How much brighter could it shine, praise God, than you being healed and blessed, hallelujah, and get your stuff. Not be willing not to go through hardship. You know, I don't preach that kind of gospel. You're going to go through. I just told one of them telling me the other morning in here, you know, about trials and blood God. And I looked at him and I said, it's going to get worse. Well, he ain't even here today. His van radiator blew up between now and then. Y'all are quiet. We all walking together, baby. You ain't alone, but God. You just let the devil come on, do what he wants to, pray God. We lifting you up, we for you, God's for you. We're not against you, God's not against you. You know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going to have afflictions come against you. And if God don't deliver you out, he will give you the grace. We was taught at Sunday school, but God, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. Don't camp out and don't fear in the valley. I mean, I've had preachers tell me. Preacher told me one time, he said, "Well, Mr. Weston, you have to fear some things." I said, "I don't." I said, "The Bible says that fear is a spirit, and it's not God's spirit." I said, "And it says that God didn't give me a spirit of fear." I said, "So I'm not supposed to fear anything." "Well, you fear your wife." I said, "I used to." I said, "But bless God, but that love, power, and sound mind broke that fear too. I'm not scared of her anymore." I was being funny with him. So Travis one time, "You tell Mom." I said, "You tell her." I said, listen, I'm not scared of her like you are. Yeah, I wanted to ask. Oh, I know what it was. This guy, he likes painkillers, and he's working for it. And he found out that Teresa had some painkillers. He told me, he said, "Hey, could you ask Teresa to get me a painkiller?" I said, "You call her." "I ain't gonna call her." I said, "Nah, man, you call her." I said, "I want to hear it too. I want you to call her. You got a toothache. Do you want to get one of her painkillers?" I said, "Little man, what are you, chicken?" I said, "Look, I'm not scared of her like you are. You're scared of her." He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't call her to see if he could get a painkiller. Whatever it was, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I told him, I said, "I don't fear nothing anymore. You can have that too. His name is Jesus." His name is Jesus. You know, some people, preacher's got a bad, bad rap. Some folks. I mean, yeah, she drug a woman out and beat her up down there because the woman was messing with me. I would fight for me too, wouldn't you? I'm worth fighting for, man. Look at me. I look good still 20-something years later. 30-something years later, hallelujah. I still look good, hallelujah. You know? Sure, she would fight for me. I told her the other day, I said, "I'm going to take you with me." "I'm not going." I said, "You've always had my back. You've always had my," I don't know, I was being funny with her. I said, "You've always had my back, baby." She didn't go with me. I don't know where it was going. Praise God. I guess she can get my back sitting at home. Praise God. But you know, give me that scripture, Beth, the first one I've got. Guard the word. My son, Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my word. The word attend right here means to pay close. It's got a sense of pay close attention to. That don't mean, you know, take the word, it says, "By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." And just say, "Yeah, we're healed. No, it says, pay close attention to my words. Pay close attention to. Attend. Pay close attention to my words. Incline your ear. Keep your ear to my saying. Not the world. Not the way you think sometimes. See, your mind will tell you that God's not with you. You can have thoughts to say, "My body's not going to get any better." You can have thoughts come from the enemy to you that says, "My finances are never going to be any better." You're in the way, and have thoughts to make you feel like your marriage is not going to change. Or your relationship with your kids. Or your, I hope Aiden changes. Right now he's Papa. Papa, Papa. I mean, he will drive you up the wall saying, "Papa, Papa, Papa, Papa." I'm over there the other day, and I wasn't paying attention to him, and he's just over there, and he said, "Papa, Papa, 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 Papa." And I looked over and said, "What?" And he said, "Can I get up here?" All he wanted to do is me to tell him, "Yes, you can get up on the trailer with your daddy. Your daddy's standing there." He wanted Papa to say he can get up there on that trailer. I said, please do. And then he says, okay. He says, okay. And he gets up there, Mac. I'm like, good God, kid, jump up on the trailer. You're one step away from it. But he's got to say, Papa, so I'm believing for the grace to get through this.
Yes.
I'm believing for the grace to get through it. Because it makes me not want to hear Papa. I was proud of, or very pleased when I heard him say Papa. I'm like, oh, he melted my heart. And now 3 years later, he's driving it in the wall. Come on, somebody. It's a real trial, man. I'll send him home with you. You'll find out. Where's Papa? I don't know. Where's Papa? I don't know. Where's Papa? Hush about Papa. I go to work on Tuesday. He gets out of Best Teresa. Where's Papa? Where's Papa? Papa's going to work. Okay. Then he goes on. Grandma, where's Papa? He's going to work. Hey, Grandma, where's Papa? We get in the truck, in the car, coming down here on a Wednesday night. We pick them up for church on Wednesday night. Just because we want to, Mac. Let them ride with us to church. So we go out there and get them. Hayden gets in. He says, Papa, buckle me up. I said, okay. Hey, Papa, where are we going? To church? I said, yep, going to church. Hey, Papa, where are we going? To church? I said, yeah. Hey, Papa, where are we going? To church? So other night I get sat down in there and he says, hey, Papa, where are we going? I said, where are we going? To church. I said, yep, going to church. I mean, that's funny to you, but you go sit in the truck and drive. You got to have some grace, man, to get through this stuff. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, he's 3 years old. He's just now getting started. Praise God. But it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline an ear to my sayings. Go ahead, man. Let them not depart from your eyes. Don't get your eyes off of them.
Amen.
If it says by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, don't get your eyes off of it. You got it? Don't get your eyes off of it. Say it in the morning. Say it at the noontime. Say it in the afternoon. Say it. The Bible says in Proverbs, we covered it about our confession, that we will be filled. Our life will be filled with the words we speak. Death and life is in the power. You want to make sure that you're speaking over yourself and your situation, your grandkids, your kids, your mom and your dad. You're speaking in line with the Word of God, something positive. Went one time and there was a lady going to church here. And her organs had shut down before she got here anyhow. Something happened. She went in the hospital and she went into a coma. She slipped into a coma. And some of them told me here, I wasn't going to the hospital, run down there, you know. I'm not your traditional pastor. I mean, you know, I'm just not, man. I don't jump on the first train. I like to wait till the second one comes through. That way I'm calm and cool and I've heard from the Lord. You know, don't panic. You know, and anyway, some of them said, you need to go pray for her. You're the pastor. I said, I'm aware of that. I started this church. But you're telling me I'm the pastor? No, I was here first. And so anyways, I go fasting, Mac, because she's in a coma. Everybody's flying in from out of state. You know, sisters, brothers, they're flying in. She's in a coma. They're going in there, and they're talking in the room with this lady that's in a coma. She hears, they're not aware, but she hears everything they're saying. She's not aware. They're not aware. She knows what they're saying. And so anyhow, the Lord, I go on, you know, and waiting on the Lord. And I mean, I'm hearing it. Member of your church, she's already on her. It looked bad, Mac. It looked bad. It looked like we're fixing to lose a member. I mean, the family's going to be distraught. I mean, it really looks bad in the natural. And my emotions are trying to take over. Oh, God, oh, God. I mean, I was begging God, don't get the result. Believe in God gets results. And so anyways, the Lord tells me, he said, go down, pray for her. He said, I'm going to raise her up. That's all he said. I got excited. I go down there, praise God, pull in at the hospital down there, Blunt Memorial down there, whatever it is, St. Vincent. Pull in there, go in there. She's in ICU on a ventilator, whatever. And I go in the waiting room, And I walk over to the husband, and I tell him, I said, can I go pray for your wife? I needed his permission. I believe that, you know, and I ain't going to bust in there. I want your permission. See, and he, and so a couple of them got me and turned me, and they said, I can't believe you giving him false hope. No, I said, God's going to raise her up. And they got mad, Mac. They got mad at me. They got upset because I'm giving him false hope. I'm giving him false hope that she can be raised up. That's not false hope. Now, they don't know what I know. But maybe they would have if it had been fasting and seeking the Lord and seeing what they're supposed to be doing. Number one, I know that it's not God's will that nobody die with sickness and disease. Number one, I know that it's not God's will that anybody die with sickness and disease. Or I don't know about all that why people do. I'm not in that arena. I'm not going there. I'm not getting in there. I'm going to guard the word. I'm going to keep the word in my heart, right? It's, if it's, you know, it ain't over till they're gone, right? We don't let all this evidence determine what we're going to do. The Lord wants you to go raise somebody out of a coffin that's done been embalmed. You go over there and do it. Right. And they'll come out of that coffin. Right. Well, I just turned all the naysayers, and I said, thank you. I'm going to pray for your wife. Right. I walked in there, praise God, and I just got her by the toe, and I spoke to that spirit of death. And I said, I command you to loose her and let her go in the name of Jesus. I command your body to be healed. You're going to live and not die and declare the glory of God. And when I got done, I opened my eyes, turned loose of her toe, and she's looking at me with tears running down her face. Told me later on she heard everything they said. They had done give up. They had done planned the funeral where they was going to bury her, the color of the coffin, and all of that stuff. She said, they all done give up on me. I said, but Jesus hadn't. And she came back home, and I told her, I said, you promised me a pot of pinto beans, and you ain't cooked them for me yet, and you can't leave here till I get my pinto. Pinto beans. You better believe it. She came back across. All I'm saying is, see, there was evidence in the natural, my emotions and everything that was trying to get in the way. What if I'd have listened to all that, Mac? And not went by what the Lord said. That woman would not have come out of there. They would have took her off the ventilator. She would have probably died. She would have done been buried and all of that stuff. I really, honestly, 100% believe that. No different with you. You're fine. Look, I'm believing God to get out of debt for years. Especially with vehicles. I spent $100,000 in 15 years on vehicles, and I owed $30,000, and what I had was worth $14,000. So I believed God to get out of debt and all that, and sowed seeds, and believed God, and things didn't change for a long time. You know, believing God, if you're really believing God, it don't matter how long you have faith, you have to be patient and let that patience keep your faith out there until you see the desired results that you're believing for. God, I gotta have it now, gotta have it now, gotta have it now. That kid needs a spanking. Come on, man, we got to be patient. We got to be able to endure. We got to be able to stand a long time. Because there's some trials that enters our life, they last a few hours. And somebody apologizes to us. So it's over. Then there's trials that enters our life, last a week and a half. Then there's some 3 weeks. Then there's some 3 months. Then there's some a year. So, you see, God wants a people that's willing to go the long haul, that don't give up in the 3 weeks, that don't give up in the 3 months, that sees their house in 10 years. See, I don't live in the now. I operate in the now, but I live in the future. I think years ahead. I didn't used to do that. It's called stewardship. It's called God. I mean, it's just like this. That'll help you get, believe God for your healing if you can see yourself 5 years down the road from now. Yep, I'm going to be planting a garden. I'm going to be running my dogs. I'm going to be killing squirrels. Might even eat some squirrel dumplings. No? Squirrel dumplings. Don't raise one though. Hey, man, we was raised off that. There were 17 of us, man. We was raised off them squirrels. I shot one time with old fox squirrel. Had daddy's shotgun, and I got me some double-aught buckshot that shotgun. Boom! And it threw me on the ground. That gun knocked me down. And I got up, and I'm looking for that squirrel. There he is going, whoo, 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 whoo. I mean, he didn't jump off on me. I thought, you just sat right there, you little idiot. And I took off a 10-year-old, went back, Daddy, I need another shell. I need another shell, and I need a pill off the bed. So I got another shell and a pillow off the bed, and I took off back down there. I put that pillow on my shoulder because that thing knocked me on the ground. It might not have been, I don't know what gun it was. It knocked me on the ground. So I took me a pillow back down there, and I put that pillow up there, and I got around that little squirrel, and his tail was just a twitching. He hadn't went nowhere. He's mad. I went, boom! I got him that time. Boy, I braced off. And I'm looking, you know, and I found his tail. I blowed him the rest of him away. All I found was his tail on that squirrel. And I took that tail home to Daddy. He said, where's the squirrel? I said, I blowed it to pieces. I reckon that. I couldn't find its body. And you know what, praise God? I said, Dad, I wanted some squirrel dumplings. You know, that's the way we need to do that devil when he's lying to us. You know, he said you give it your best shot, but it just ain't your faith thing. We need to just load up again. Load up with the Word of God. Pull out the sword of the Spirit. And I'm talking about cut him up. Hallelujah. You know, cut him a little. Just cut him a little. You know, when you get after Satan, he runs. He can be up in your face and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, you pull that sword out, glory to God. Jesus' Word said, like, and he's gone. He's scared of you. He's a bully. He's a faker. He just likes to try to bluff us. Just bluff us. Like he's really going to do something. Like he's trying to get the word out of our heart, see. He's trying to get us to believe what we feel and all of that stuff and believe what listen, the doctor can tell me I'm not going to live. I'm not going to believe that doctor above God's word. I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to say, thank you, doctor. You're doing a good job, Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord, I'm going to say, God, anoint these doctors when I go. I do it every time I go to the doctor. When I went in, if they're going to cut me open and kill me, man, I'm going to pray before I get in there. I went in there knowing that Jesus' hand was going to be on his hand and her hand and whoever. I went in believing God that the anointing on everything they do. They don't even have to know what they're doing. Jesus knows what he's doing. He is a master at fixing, putting things back together. But it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. You know, your heart, in a lot of sense in the Bible, it's not talking about that organ. That's not what it's talking about. The word heart here has a sense of your mind, your intellect. Your mind, your thinking, Paul said, your intellect. Not some physical organ, you know. We're born again of God's Spirit in our inner man, our belly. The Bible says out of your belly, your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. But that's talking about keep them in the middle of your heart, your eyes, your intellect, your thinking. Now, I mean, this is a challenge, Johnny. I mean, it's a real challenge. You know, we come to church, we get all excited. I mean, y'all been blessed. I mean, honestly, I don't have to wonder. I feel it on the inside that God has blessed and ministered to some of you. And I mean, I feel it on the inside. I always feel good when that happens. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with what he's doing, you know. But it's a whole new ball game when you leave here and your car blows up, your refrigerator goes out. Somebody, your neighbor calls and cusses you. I had a herd of cows. Good thing they don't eat turnip greens. They could have mowed them right quick. Herd of cows in my turnip greens yesterday or whenever it was. They're right out in the middle of my turnip greens. And I'm like, They're after that corn that come up, that voluntary corn that come up. You know, I could have got all mad. I could have been, my God, I planted a whole turnip green patch. Them little idiots, I'm going to put me some of them in the freezer. Them cows, you know. But you know, all of a sudden I thought, you know, I need to help my neighbor. I need to help my neighbor out. But God, go get the phone with her, call the neighbor. And he's feeling bad. His wife sent me, I hope he didn't eat too many turnip greens. Y'all didn't give us a bunch. And I said, cows don't eat turnip greens. He said, well, oop. I ain't never seen a cow eat turnip greens. Then maybe they do. I don't know. Them don't. They eat the corn out of there. You know? So I went out and helped them round them up and all that, you know? See, the Bible says that we overcome evil with good. We're guarding the word in our heart. We're keeping the word in our heart. But you know, when challenges come up, I mean, then's the time not to turn loose of that word. It's kind of like this. Okay, I voted a certain way. And every time I turn the TV on, it tries to oppress me. Every time. Not sometime. I even watch the weather and the weatherman gets on it. That makes me mad. I'm trying to see if it's going to be 27 tomorrow or 30. I don't want to hear what y'all think. And so what I have to do is turn it off. Because it's trying to convince me that things are going to go contrary to what I'm believing for. So you've got to turn that off, whatever it is. Now, I'm not on politics right now. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about life here. I'm talking about everything. Because everything is directed to steal the seed that you put in there, the word of God, in your thinking. Got it in your spirit, praise God. I mean, Satan, I was real bad jealous. I got to close, man. Y'all are enjoying it. We can go on. Y'all be all right. I was a bad jealous guy. Of course, I have a good reason. Look at my wife. She's still just as beautiful as she was. I mean, she's a beauty. She's a beauty. Yeah, she's a peach. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I was a really, 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 really bad jealous guy. I mean, really bad. But I had a spirit back in it. It's worse than just being jealous. It was over. It pushed people away. I was so, you know, and all. Well, go get saved here, and everything, and then you know, I start thinking, nah, man, I'm saved. I'm not supposed to be jealous. I quit going check. The first thing I did is quit going and checking her speedometer to see before I left to work and when I come back. Mac, I knew how many miles it was everywhere. And bless God, if she's been 4 miles, I know where she's been. Tortured. I was in prison. I mean, if she went to mama's, I knew she went to mama's and right back. She went to the store after that. It's going down. You shouldn't have went to the store for mama or nobody. Because I believe she's lying to me. If everything wasn't just exactly right, I believe she was lying. That's where the enemy had it. Well, I get saved, you know, and I walk by there and I want to look. I'm not looking. I am not looking at that today, Satan. I'm not looking. And I mean, have you ever been addicted to something? And I mean, you gonna get it. That's the way that felt. It was everything I could do to get in my truck to go without looking at that. You know? Well, I get on free without, you know, and everything, praise God. And then we're on up here, and we're done over here in the church, and I walk that thing out. See, you got to turn things off and walk things out until the freedom comes. And it sets in, and then, because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free. And if you're born again, you've done been free from everything. You've been set free from everything. We just got to learn how to walk in it and learn how to walk it out and walk forward until we see the results that we've been set free from. Well, I go in, and I'm all, I mean, Matt, I get her, later on I get her own bank account, her own phone, Black God, I mean, I'm not checking nothing. Go where you want. Go do what you want. I trust you. I mean, I'm free, man. I'm, you know, and then I go in. Every time I go home, she's on the internet. I walked in and I'm like, where you at? Oh, I was on the internet. I walked down there one day and I thought, what's she doing on the internet every time I go? I thought, what business? I mean, every time I come, she's on the internet. Then I had this thought, yeah, she's in them chat rooms. She's done hooked up with some idiot over there. He don't go to church. He smokes dope and I don't no more. We're boring now. He ain't getting stuck. Yeah, good looking guy. I'm good looking. He lost to you, though. So I go in the next day and I say, boy, you're on that internet a lot, ain't you? You know, every time I come in, you know,
what are you saying? What are you saying?
Have you ever seen it?
Come on, what are you saying? Come on, boy, don't you start accusing me of that. I ain't done nothing.
I'm like, well, don't try to defend yourself because I don't believe you. You lied to me back under, and I lied to you. What's the difference now? Is somebody lying? Well, you know what Satan was doing? He's trying to bring back up that old past. He's trying to take me back to prison. And I walked out there, and I thought, don't be an idiot like Satan is. What's wrong with you? She ain't got no, she ain't give you no evidence. Sat to the computer don't mean nothing. Like God, she could have been shopping for me some britches. Said last night, I couldn't even keep this a secret, man. Beth, you know, I mean, they're trying to figure out what they're going to get Teresa for Christmas, okay? And so I'm trying to help them with ideas. And never fails, my phone goes off right beside her nearly. Teresa, set the couch. It went bling, then it went bling again. Because what I did is I said something Beth couldn't figure out. So I had to go redo it. And so Teresa said, looked over her glasses, who was that? And I'm like, she never asked that. And I thought, I got to lie to her. And I thought I can't lie to her now. I mean, all this is happening, Mac. I'm like, man, I can't tell her because then she'll know what they're going to get her. And, man, I mean, I thought, well, just tell her some guy that you messaged with a vehicle or something. See, now look, we got to watch out for this devil, see?
Yes.
He's trying to get me in there. A little bit of darkness, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump in the bread, see? A little leaven leavens the lump. And so now if I've done that, I come out from under the anointing, she's going to feel something.
Yes.
Then she's going, then it's going to give place to the devil, like I'm messing around with somebody. You see what I'm saying? We're smarter than that devil. And so I thought, I said, listen, it's Beth. I said, I'm trying to help her get ideas what you might want. And then, I mean, it was gone. And she said, well, don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. Hallelujah. All I had to do was watch that devil. All I had to do is keep him out here. How many knows? Light, darkness can't stay in light. You go in a dark room, you turn the light on, that darkness don't say, I'm not leaving, you can't see the light. Man, you turn it on, darkness goes poof immediately. Poof. Well, how many know Jesus is the light? How many knows we're the light of the world? How many knows we got to watch and guard the word and keep it in the midst of our hearts? So I want to encourage you this morning. I could preach on, man, there's an anointing here. Because we all love the Lord. We want to know how the enemy's trying to trap. We're going to know. So I want to encourage you, praise God. We're in troubled times, no doubt. We're in troubled waters. The world is in troubled waters. We've had to change our whole life this year for that stupid idiot COVID junk. You know, I mean, we've had to adjust everything, praise God, and go through and keep our faith up. I won't get the idiot.
I won't have it. I won't get it. I deny it. I resist it in the name of Jesus. It has to die when it gets here on this place. But God, ain't no weapon formed against us will prosper. I'm not going to get it out yonder on the road. I'm not going to get it. Why? Because the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The Bible says, long, satisfied life would he give me and show me. It's not long, sick life, so I hang on to that word. I hung on it for over 25 years, not just since this idiot got here. They will give you another flu next year. It's called COVID this year. I mean, Aiden goes to the doctor, and they test him for some name I've never heard. And I'm like, what the garbage is that? It's just a name they tacked on whatever they think it got. The flu left all of a sudden. The flu's gone. Everything's COVID. I mean, this is the time of the year everybody's got the flu. Where'd it go? It's gone. All of a sudden, flu's not important anymore. Now COVID's everything. I'm not saying it ain't real, but I'm going to covet the word in my heart. I'm going to keep a shield of faith about me. I'm going to stand for the word of God. I don't care what. I mean, they tried to shove the flu shot on me. Take the flu shot. I'm not against the flu shot. And don't you go not take it because I'm preaching up here and saying that. I'm not preaching you a doctrine. You want the flu shot, you go get it. I've got nothing against that. That's not going to tell me nothing about you. But it's for me. I've never took one. Never. They put the flu in you. They put it in you to make you immune. They're even saying the COVID stuff now, they put it in you. You're going to have symptoms. Why? Because of the medicine. You're going to feel it. And I'm not against that vaccine either. But I'm not. I would rather take the gospel. I would rather take the gospel. God's bigger than that. But you keep that word in the middle of your heart. You have your mind renewed with the word of God. If it ain't renewed with the word of God, you get your Bible out. Bless God, and you renew your mind to the word of God to where you believe that God can do what that Bible says in your life. That you believe that God can protect you, what he says he'll do in that Bible in your life. And you don't need any evidence out here or 1,500 people agreeing with you to believe it. He will make that thing real to you by himself, by the Spirit of God. And I mean, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,